Why? You've shown him that there was never a scarcity of space. That's another way of giving somebody space. The reason why people can't get things to move easily in mock-ups is because they think there's a scarcity of space. There's a scarcity of space because it's only meshed universe space that they can have, and there's only so much area on the top of a planet. That's the way they figured it out. There are people who advocate all sorts of birth control and starvation measures. They even go to the point of saying it was a good thing there was a famine, because places like India are overcrowded. And therefore, they have to have a famine to wipe them out. And disease is good. And we'd certainly better not clear out yellow fever or malaria out of some area, because it'd get overpopulated. Space. Well, they're operating on the delusion. They're operating on the delusion, in the first place, there is some space. And the next, they're saying there's a scarcity of it. Now, in self-analysis, there's a chapter there, it has on the abundance of things. You have to have abundance to survive, it says. Well, doggone it, you have to have abundance of space to survive. But if space is a concept, then you'd better get the concept of abundance of space into the head of your preclear to make him well. Because he won't get well as long as he thinks there's a scarcity of space, because there's space back of every object, and space back of every energy, and space back of every being, and space back of everything there is on the track. And therefore, unless you hit for space, and by spaceation, cure up this idea, I use that word cure up for lack of English, language doesn't give us as many words as it ought to, unless you orient your preclear properly, wrong word, you see. You know why these are all wrong words? Unless you cure up space and so on. It's a simple thing that space, in terms of English, is an arbitrary. And we're dealing on a basic denominator of English. And the basic denominators of English are matter, energy, space, and time. And in view of that fact, there are no further abstracts than that. And the second that you start hitting one of these and start discussing it, in the past they started just talking about it in terms of the other three, and they thought that was making sense. It never made sense. Never will. So we talk about curing up somebody, we talk about altering his concept of. And he has this concept of space, all right, and he's got a concept that space is scarce. Why does he stick on the time track? Because space is scarce. Why does he think he has to have other beings around him? Because space is scarce. Why can't he tolerate other beings in his vicinity? Because space is scarce. Why has he got so many things identified with so many things that he's so loopy that he has to work for the government? Because space is scarce. Why does he think objects are so super valuable? Well, that's a funny one. A condensed space, condensed object, is the most valuable object. So therefore, space is very scarce, so therefore we have value. What is the basic definition for us in terms of value? It means a space which is possessed, or which can be possessed, which is scarcer than other pieces of scarcity. That's all. Value is determined by scarcity. Don't think your capitalista doesn't know that. Boy, how he works and slaves to create a scarcity. He would starve. Isn't that horrible? If anybody came along and broke the theory of scarcity, if anybody just took it and busted its spine, those poor fellows would starve. They wouldn't have any Cadillacs, and nobody had any diamonds and any Colts, and they wouldn't be able to control people and kick them around, and wouldn't be able to starve a little baby so they could make another penny out of the milk and everything. Isn't it terrible? So let's not breathe anything about this scarcity. Let's keep that strictly amongst ourselves, and under no circumstances let it out that scarcity of space is the thing which creates extreme value, and that the cure for a sick society is giving it space. Any time you want to cure society, cure this concept of scarcity of space, just as I don't care whether you're doing it in propaganda or anything else. By the way, you probably think I'm anti-capitalist. I'm not anti-capitalist, not even vaguely anti-capitalist. In fact, I think that capitalists are good people, and I think that, they ought to be all put together and made very scarce. I've had my belly full of what they tried to do to Dianetics and Scientology. If once more one of those characters walks up to me and says, "You've got to make it scarce," I swear to God I'll throttle him, just like that. Now, therefore, if there's a scarcity of space, it follows then that in view of the fact that you think you occupy space, there must be a scarcity of you. Interesting concept, isn't it? Then why? How come you're not there? How come your preclear isn't present? How come he's operating through his mess perceptics, but he's sitting someplace else, or he's dispersed around in an area, or so forth? It means space is so scarce that he has no space which he can honestly occupy, and he can only pretend to occupy a small amount of space. So you say, get out of your head. He can get out of his head. There is no space to get into, of course. Space is scarce. How do you cure that? Just cure the scarcity of space, that's all. Give him lots of space. Lots of space. Have him mark up space. Have him mark up lots of space. Have him mark up some more space to throw it away. How do you mark up space? You put out anchor points. And then put something terribly valuable in it and then make the whole thing disappear. Scarcity view. Well, it goes further than this. Do you know that you don't occupy space? And yet, you've got to come upscale to the point where you occupy space, not to have to occupy space again. You're in negative space. You're in space scarcity. There's no space at all. You get the idea? There's not only no space at all, there's got to be a lot of space before there is any. Now, that sounds very weird, and you could only get a condition like that in terms of concepts, which is one of the most interesting demonstrations that space is a concept. You can have a negative concept, but you certainly couldn't have a negative space if there were space. So you want intervening distances between you and other people. That gives you an identity. That gives them an identity. That gives you something to perceive across. That gives you all sorts of things. It's very interesting. You've gone all the way down the line to be sure and agree with us so that you can have these differences. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that does not create a difference with a typical mess universe flow. This wanting to have a scarcity of space so that you can always estimate space also delivers to you pain. You've got to have that object there, haven't you? It can't be anyplace else, can it? Well, if you've got to have an object in a fixed position and you can't move it fast enough, you're certainly going to get it hurt. You're going to lose it. This is the history with bodies. You find your preclear can't get out of a body because the body needs him too much? Well, basically, what's wrong is not the supervalue of bodies, but the scarcity of himself. He knows he can't exist very much. You know, this is a very interesting concept. If you want to run a concept, ask somebody to run just this one. This is a dirty trick, by the way. But this is ruinous. Just ask them, you mustn't multiply any more of you. Run a bracket on it, on somebody, see what happens. You mustn't multiply any more of you. Guy's got an idea he can only be one place at once, you see. He's got an idea there can be only one of him. There is no reason under the sun why a fellow can't exist in 10,000, 100,000 billion places simultaneously. Because there's scarcity of space, there has to be a scarcity of him then. He can't multiply himself all this time because if he did, you see, why, he'd be in terrible straits, so therefore he gets stuck on the time track. Get the idea? He can't be back on the time track, he thinks, over here to the left and rear. You see, he that's space. So he can't be back there on the time track unless there's so little of him that he has to divide what is of him in present time to be back on the time track. You get the idea. When he left the body or wherever he stuck, when he left that body, he had to have the idea that there was just so much of him to leave and not all left. Therefore, there had to be some sort of a scarcity of him. In other words, he was a finite quantity. But Thetan is not a finite quantity. There's enough of him to be stuck in every engram and incident on the whole track, liberally and awarely stuck, and have enough of him in present time to be more of him than you will ever see in present time. And aware of only present time and not even vaguely affected by past times. You see, it's only scarcity that makes him so valuable to him that he has to worry about what's happening to him. So if he operates freely, in order to operate freely, he's got to have a scarcity of space cured, and he's got to have the scarcity of self cured. A person doesn't operate freely. Why doesn't a person operate freely? Why doesn't he go out here and throw himself under the wheels of a truck? Why not? Well, there's only that much of him, you see. I mean, a fellow, by the way, just for amusement's sake, might stand on a curb and sort of throw himself under the trucks as they go by, just to scare the truck drivers or something. There is no reason why he shouldn't do it. Wouldn't hurt him any. But he's got to bring two items in proximity, he thinks, in order to get a sensation. When you bring them in too intimate a proximity and try to crowd him into the same space, it says right here in the rule book, Messed Universe, I think they're still running on issue one. it says right here that he can get in bad trouble. How can two particles come so close together as to create pain? Well, that's because there isn't enough space between them. Well, how can you keep more space from getting in between them? Well, if you're not careful, there won't be any space between them. And if you're not real careful, there won't be any particles there. So, this is scarcity deluxe, you see. Scarcity of you-ness. You have to be very careful not to get stuck anyplace because you can't be elsewhere than where you are. Now we take step two, and that teaches a person to be here and to be there and to be someplace else. Now let's add another one in creative processing under step three. Let's take the step two mock-ups that create him here and there and so forth. And in terms of space, let's just create lots of him. As a Thetan, we'll create lots of them. All kinds of identities and so forth, all in present time. Or then get linear distances and stretch them all up and down the line. And now instead of running a cycle of action, let's have a new Thetan be in each moment of the time track. Be a brand new beingness with the full knowingness of the past beingness, but a brand new beingness with great amplitude being in each new moment. Leave him stuck in every moment of the time track, in other words. He's trying not to be stuck. Let's fix him up with mock-ups so that he's stuck in every moment. All right, let's have him being beheaded. That's good. That's good. Now get the Thetan being crowded down and staying right there in that beheaded body, okay? You got that there? All right, now let's mock up a new body of yours. The fellow said, wait a minute, I didn't get out of that last one. That's all right, that's all right, just be right there. Now mock up this new body, yours be hanged. That's good, you got that body hanging there. All right, get yourself being stuck completely in that body. You got yourself stuck there, no possibility of getting out. All right, that's fine. Now mock yourself up over here in 18th century clothes and so forth, being killed in the Crimean War. Now the fellow said, wait a minute. You say, wait a minute, that's what you're trying to do. You just wait in those two bodies all you please. Let's get mock-ups all over the place under step three, and let's cure this scarcity of you-ness. Let's just get lots of mock-ups and get him stuck in every mock-up till he all of a sudden gets the idea, which is the true idea, that he has unlimited amplitude, unlimited volume, unlimited beingness. And what do you think returns to him? Differentiation of the widest sort on facts. Oh, he can get lots of distance. What else returns to him? Immunity from pain. There's so much space between particles that unless he wants to put them in proximity, they won't go into proximity. Pain is enforced proximity of particles. There is no scarcity of you. There is no reason why you can't be here fully knowingly and sitting home in your own living room at this moment fully knowingly listening to Radio 2. There's no reason why not. You think, well, I wouldn't have an identity if I did that. You know why you want an identity? I'll tell you why you've got to have an identity, so that others will be wrong. How could you possibly ever prove anybody wrong unless you had an identity? How could you? Why do you want to be famous? Well, it'll make them so wrong. Make who wrong? Them. Well, who's them? I don't know. Probably all degenerated into cells by this time, or they're in trouble so many other ways they don't need any further trouble about you making them wrong. You'll be surprised. The only reason a person wants an identity, or he has to have a face, is to prove them wrong. Now, you don't think that that's right, or that that connects. Well, just put it down in your notebook and run it on somebody and find out what happens. All right, let's prove them wrong now. Let's run a bracket on proving them wrong. Let's get people proving you wrong. This goes, by the way, right downhill. And having an identity is below having force. Here's the terrible trick. You feel like if you get enough of an identity and you get famous enough that you can't then be limited in what you do. And of course, that is exactly the way you get limited. Just try and get a little bit famous sometime and find out all of the shackles that go on. Do you look at some of these characters around? That was one of the first things that struck me down in Hollywood. I used to look at these stars. My God, they might as well have been anchored with elephant posts at the studio, and they might as well have been in cages and been wheeled from their homes down to the studio every day and wheeled back again. You talk about captive by fame. They were objects, and they were valuable. Person says, no, someday I'm going to get famous and do anything I want to do. I'm going to be President of the United States. You know what the President of the United States runs into every time he turns around? Secret Service. I would hate to tell you some of his activities that have to be supervised by the Secret Service. Now, Harun al-Rashid had a cure for this. All Harun al-Rashid used to do was mock himself up as a beggar and go on out and talk with the common people. But I noticed he was always cracking out with, I am Harun al-Rashid. That was the only way he could solve anything. What a dope. The only way he could solve anything or award somebody for doing something was by suddenly disclosing the fact that he was the Sultan. Boy, was he low on the tone scale. There are so many things you can do besides disclosing an identity or calling upon a hoarded wealth. But of course you have to be a Scientologist to do that. You have to be a good one. And so we won't blame Harun al-Rashid. But the track leads you to believe that you should become an identity, that you should have a face, that people should know your name. Why? So you'll have rights. Why do you want rights? I'll tell you why you want rights. What do you mean you've got to have rights? Is because you're liable to be hurt if you don't have rights. So the need for identity and the need for rights is the effort to avoid pain. And so a person becomes an identity, becomes a solid object, as handled as a solid object, really, when he's got all the fame he can stand. And he has no rights anymore. He's got all the rights in the world, only he hasn't got any rights. And that is the very, very spooky track that the mess universe has all pegged out. The more of an identity you become, the more of an object you become, or the safer you are, you think, uh-uh. Boy, you really have to be a tough guy to help anybody. I'm not kidding you. You have to be tough enough to knock somebody's block off before you can help them. You have to be real strong. Because the only way you can get famous is to help somebody or something. That's a lower level than being able to command people to do something. So what are we doing? You're falling down from postulate. Boy, would I like to be king, somebody says. Then I can do anything I want to do. Except wear the pants you want. Except eat the things you want to eat. Except be where you want to be. Did you ever see one of these fellows running around? They christen ships and so forth. I remember Edward, Prince of Wales, so forth. My father had something to do with it. Part of the tour, but Edward was on it. The poor kid had to change his clothes in the back of a Rolls Royce about four times a day to go to these new meetings and appointments and that sort of thing. It was wonderful. He was just a walking clothes horse. And was he handled? One day, the most horrible thing that happened over one day in one headquarters was the fact that he turned up missing. One time during the war, he was able to cut off across country and jump a fence and get away from the colonel and a couple of troops that were shepherding him. And he was taking a run one morning for breakfast, and he all of a sudden realized that these guys couldn't get over the fence on their horses. And so he just skidded through the barbed wire and took a run across a plowed field, went and found a tree and sat down someplace and relaxed. And he had practically half the Allied army on its ear. Everybody got worried because he wanted some freedom. And that's the way it goes. So how do you restore this? What's the cure for an identity? The cure for an identity is the possession of power. And what's above power? Space. You have to recover the ability to use power before you can get into space. And so we get a whole technique that has to do with that. I've written it down up here. Is unable to use force or display force. So we put that under the heading of demonstration of power, and we put that as the bridge to be crossed, one of the bridges to be crossed in three. And why is it sitting there in three? Well, it's sitting there in three because it's the bridge that goes from three up to two. Somewhere on these five steps, we've got to rehabilitate power, so let's rehabilitate it in three. We disabuse the fellow completely from using force in step two and get him to use postulates. All right, where's the bridge to that? Well, the bridge to that comes up from being an identity up through the ability to use power. And when he's able to use power, he doesn't give a damn what identity he is. Why does somebody want to be king? Because I could have all their heads chopped off. Why do you want their heads chopped off? Well, because they've done me in. Well, what have they done to you? Well, they did this and they did that. Well, now, they did all that. Well, why do you want to be king then? Maybe you couldn't get at them. Well, I could at least show them they were wrong. Why do you want to be this famous? Why do you want to be able to do all these things? Well, I'll show my teacher. She didn't think I was any good. Wonderful motivation, isn't it? But truth of the matter is, nobody gives you permission to go way up tone scale to 40. You don't have to ask permission from anybody to go in that direction. So beware of all routes where you have to ask for approbation and permission in order to be. And boy, you sure have to ask everybody's permission to get famous. If you go along and don't give a doggone what people think of you, and you just go on and you do your job, and you let them chatter and you let them yak and you don't care about anything, boy, you'll really get in Dutch sooner or later. Of course, all things come to end if you can stand the gaff. You don't wear out. But the only possible way that you can get any freedom is to stop asking everybody's permission to be. And beware if you start operating in your community and you're operating in an area, you get yourself way up tone scale and you're able to do some tricks. People start finding out what you can do about ills and that sort of thing. Beware as you would of the plague of a thirst for fame. I've had to do a very bad thing in Scientology and Dianetics. In order to secure the line of research, I've had to hang my name on it continually. You can ask anybody who was in the first foundation. One day I raged and stormed and beat the desk until I was fit to. I scared everybody. As a matter of fact, the whole board of trustees said, oh, why, Ron, I never knew anybody. They thought that just because, you see, I'd do something like Dianetics and Scientology, that automatically and immediately I would thereafter have to be completely controlled and be a perfect gentleman. That doesn't follow. It's non sequitur. I'm much more at home on a quarter deck. They were trying to tell me something or other, and I got mad about the thing because this was very early. They wanted me to put my name on some things. And I had it all beautifully rigged up into the most wonderful little swindle up to that time you ever heard of. And more people believe this swindle. They believe that Dianetics was the creation of a number of engineers of which I wasn't even one. You can ask them, the early foundation, about this. And then what do you know? All these engineers that were named turned into prima donnas started turning up and say, what you should do is all go out to church. And some of the others said that what you should do would be to go over and change all of this and that. And they were going off in all different directions except the direction to make anybody well. They hadn't even bothered to learn this subject before they began to become authorities on it. And they became such horrible authorities that everything got mopped up. Well, somebody pointed this out to me, and I went into a storming rage on it. I said, you know what will happen from here on out? I said, my good name won't be worth 2 cents. If I want to go up to the Alaskan tundra and thumb my nose to all this, I'll have to stay here. No. They won. Not 5 months later, I was all over the pages of the Los Angeles newspapers with the darndest bunch of garbage you ever looked. A gal I wasn't even married to was suing me for divorce. Fame. All right, we got this name on it as a trademark. But at any day, you're liable to having a 10-year-old boy or something showing up here to draw any paycheck I might be drawing this operation. Any day, and this body just beautifully buried with the nicest ceremony. Much as your life's worth. So that's a bad route. I'm using this as a horrible example. It probably doesn't come home because you don't know how horrible the example is. It's a roughie. For the last 2.5 years, this has been just pure, unadulterated hell on the subject of public repute. You know, I used to be able to go into New York City, and they knew me as an explorer and as a writer, and they used to run nice columns in the New York Times about me. Not now. No, I'm the leader of a cult or something. Devil with that. Now, if there was to be a prevention of that, it would be through the field of force. When is a person unable to use force? It's when he's got a public repute to protect. You can't use force. I haven't thrown a tantrum for years. Yet I well remember with what satisfying memory an ink bottle as I hit the desk, jumping off of it and landing in the lap of the person I was talking to upside down. Boy, that was the last satisfying view. Now, actually, you have to be anonymous to use force. If you used unlimited force, you'd better be sure anonymous, because these cops, they got Bertillions and everything else. Well, you know, they can't list the Thetan yet. Why do you want to use force? Well, it's just to use force, that's to... Well, that's a good reason it must have. So many people want to use it. It's all backwards, by the way. It's unusable. You can do things by postulates, but not by force. But in order to do things by postulates, you've got to have complete control of force. Awfully interesting idea, but it happens to be true. So, demonstrate force. Now, what's the mock-up of this, not to get long-winded and windy about this sort of thing? What's the mock-up? Yeah, I interested me, my pal, you're interested in this mock-up. All right. This mock-up that we do to get this is to mock the individual up using unlimited quantities of force. Do mock-ups of using unlimited quantities of force. Now, remember we had in 2, you had to cure a person of stage fright. All right, now that would be the last rungs of it. Let's cure a person in 3 of being wary of using force before witnesses. Mock-ups which give demonstrations of temper, unlimited quantities of force, destruction, and so forth before witnesses. And just a series of mock-ups which show him busting up everything and breaking everything through and everybody saying... and so on and so on. And this is not the same as stage fright exactly, but it has some bearing on it. So you make him use force, and always before witnesses. Just using force, you see, won't pull him out of it. So the long form of Standard Operating Procedure 5 on Spaceation here then calls for mock-ups using force. We get him up to a point where he believes he could use any kind of force on anything. Good. The second he does that, he will be cured of something else. Thirst for identity, which lets him out of his body like that. Because about all his body is a very expensive, unusable method of having and carrying around an identification card. Actually, they have little cards, and we can issue cards here and code names and put your wavelength on file if you've got to be identified, but you won't want to be. All right. There, then, is that problem. Unlimited use of force. Now, why are you afraid of space? You're afraid of black space because unlimited force is liable to come out of black space. So you do a series of mock-ups under three of locating the most horrible things in black space, not seeing them, creating them in the black space. Just think of all the things you could create and then not bother to look at them. Just keep creating things in black space till a fellow is completely accustomed to finding anything in that blackness. He just gets the idea. More locks will come off, by the way. The thousands. Locating things in black space. Now, what do you know? White dazzling space is just as important to locate things in because it's an electronic area. What's smoking? Evidently, smoking is merely energy. And so we've got another one under standard operating procedure 5 long form, and that is locating things in flaming energy. Get a big, great big ball of energy, and the fellow thinks that's all there is, we'll put a dragon in it. In other words, get them objects and energy flows, black and white, and get them around him, and mock up things in that and not even see them, but just know they're there, and get him up to a point where he could know anything is in the black space. And you'll get him over a lot of fear. Now, there's one in the next step, number 4, which I'm not covering in the moment, but I'll just mention it offhand, is we will have energy, Gita. You mock up energy. A person getting energy and a person giving out energy is part of step 4. So this is just above that. It's a higher level. It's locating things in energy. Gita, we're just getting energy. Getting the idea of taking energy in and putting it out. Well, let's get in 3, locating things in. And the goal of 3 is, for heaven's sakes, let's absolutely get a person over 2 things in 3. If we don't get him over anything else, of course, basically we're just getting him over any aberration in space. But let's get him over 2 things that are very specific. And one of those is being afraid of black or white space, that it might mask something. Why? You've shown him that there was never a scarcity of space. That's another way of giving somebody space. The reason why people can't get things to move easily in mock-ups is because they think there's a scarcity of space. There's a scarcity of space because it's only mesh universe space that they can have, and there's only so much area on the top of a planet. That's the way they figured it out. There are people who advocate all sorts of birth control and starvation measures. They even go to the point of saying it was a good thing there was a famine, because places like India are overcrowded. And therefore, they have to have a famine to wipe them out. And disease is good. And we'd certainly better not clear out yellow fever and malaria out of some area because it would get overpopulated. Space. Well, they're operating on the delusion. They're operating on the delusion, the first place, there is some space. And the next, they're saying there's a scarcity of it. Now, in self-analysis, there's a chapter there, it has on the abundance of things. You have to have abundance to survive, it says. Well, doggone it, you have to have abundance of space to survive. But if space is a concept, then you'd better get the concept of abundance of space into the head of your preclear to make him well. Because he won't get well as long as he thinks there's a scarcity of space, because there's space back of every object and space back of every energy and space back of every being and space back of everything there is on the track. And therefore, unless you hit for space and by spaceation cure up this idea, I use that word cure up for lack of English. Language doesn't give us as many words as it ought to. Unless you orient your preclear properly, wrong word, you see. You know why these are all wrong words? Unless you cure up space and so on. It's a simple thing that space, in terms of English, is an arbitrary. and we're dealing on a basic denominator of English. And the basic denominators of English are matter, energy, space, and time. And in view of that fact, there are no further abstracts than that. And the second that you start hitting one of these and start discussing it, in the past, they started just talking about it in terms of the other three, and they thought that was making sense. It never made sense. Never will. So we talk about curing up somebody, we talk about altering his concept of. And he has this concept of space, all right, and he's got a concept that space is scarce. Why does he stick on the time track? Because space is scarce. Why does he think he has to have other beings around him? Because space is scarce. Why can't he tolerate other beings in his vicinity? Because space is scarce. Why has he got so many things identified with so many things that he's so loopy that he has to work for the government? Because space is scarce. Why does he think objects are so super valuable? Well, that's a funny one. A condensed space, condensed object is the most valuable object. So therefore, space is very scarce, so therefore we have value. What is the basic definition for us in terms of value? It means a space which is possessed, or which can be possessed, which is scarcer than other pieces of scarcity. That's all. Value is determined by scarcity. Don't think your capitalista doesn't know that. Boy, how he works and slaves to create a scarcity. He would starve. Isn't that horrible? If anybody came along and broke the theory of scarcity, if anybody just took it and busted its spine, those poor fellows would starve. They wouldn't have any Cadillacs, and nobody had any diamonds and mink coats, and they wouldn't be able to control people and kick them around, and wouldn't be able to starve a little baby so they could make another penny out of the milk and everything. Isn't it terrible? So let's not breathe anything about this scarcity. Let's keep that strictly amongst ourselves, and under no circumstances let it out that scarcity of space is the thing which creates extreme value, and that the cure for a sex society is giving it space. Any time you want to cure society, cure this concept of scarcity of space, just as, I don't care whether you're doing it in propaganda or anything else. By the way, you probably think I'm anti-capitalist. I'm not anti-capitalist, not even vaguely anti-capitalist. In fact, I think that capitalists are good people, and I think that they ought to be all put together and made very scarce. I've had my belly full of what they've tried to do with Dianetics and Scientology. If once more one of those characters walks up to me and says, "You've got to make it scarce," I swear to God I'll throttle him, just like that. Now, therefore, if there's a scarcity of space, it follows then that in view of the fact that you think you occupy space, there must be a scarcity of you. Interesting concept, isn't it? Then why? How come you're not there? How come your preclear isn't present? How come he's operating through his mess perceptics, but he's sitting someplace else, or he's dispersed around in an area or so forth? It means space is so scarce that he has no space which he can honestly occupy, and he can only pretend to occupy a small amount of space. So you say, get out of your head. He can get out of his head. There is no space to get into, of course. Space is scarce. How do you cure that? Just cure the scarcity of space, that's all. Give them lots of space. Have mark up space. Have mark up lots of space. Have mark up some more space to throw it away. How do you mark up space? You put out anchor points. And then put something terribly valuable in it and then make the whole thing disappear. Scarcity view. Well, it goes further than this. You know that you don't occupy space, and yet you've got to come upscale to the point where you occupy space, not to have to occupy space again. You're in negative space. You're in space scarcity. There's no space at all. You get the idea? There's not only no space at all, there's got to be a lot of space before there is any. Now, that sounds very weird, and you could only get a condition like that in terms of concepts, which is one of the most interesting demonstrations that space is a concept. You can have a negative concept, but you certainly couldn't have a negative space if there was space. So you want intervening distances between you and other people. That gives you an identity. That gives them an identity. That gives you something to perceive across. That gives you all sorts of things. It's very interesting. You've gone all the way down the line to be sure and agree with us so that you can have these differences. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But that does not create a difference with a typical messed universe flow. This wanting to have a scarcity of space so that you can always estimate space also delivers to you pain. You've got to have that object there, haven't you? It can't be anyplace else, can it? Well, if you've got to have an object in a fixed position and you can't move it fast enough, you're certainly going to get it hurt. You're going to lose it. This is the history with bodies. You find your prequel can't get out of a body because the body needs him too much. Well, basically, what's wrong is not the supervalue of bodies, but the scarcity of himself. He knows he can't exist very much. You know, this is a very interesting concept. If you want to run a concept, ask somebody to run just this one. This is a dirty trick, by the way. But this is ruinous. Just ask them, you mustn't multiply any more of you. Run a bracket on it, on somebody, see what happens. You mustn't multiply any more of you. Guy's got an idea he can only be one place at once, you see. He's got an idea there can be only one of him. There is no reason under the sun why a fellow can't exist in 10,000 billion places simultaneously. Because there's scarcity of space, there has to be a scarcity of him then. He can't multiply himself all this time because if he did, you see, why, he'd be in terrible straits. So therefore, he gets stuck on the time track. Get the idea? He can't be back on the time track, he thinks, over here to the left and rear. You see, he that's space. So he can't be back there on the time track unless there's so little of him that he has to divide what is of him in present time to be back on the time track. You get the idea. When he left the body or wherever he stuck, when he left that body, he had to have the idea that there was just so much of him to leave and not all left. Therefore, there had to be some sort of a scarcity of him. In other words, he was a finite quantity. But Thetan is not a finite quantity. There's enough of him to be stuck in every engram and incident on the whole track, liberally and awarely stuck, and have enough of him in present time to be more of him than you will ever see in present time. And aware of only present time and not even vaguely affected by past times. You see, it's only scarcity that makes him so valuable to him that he has to worry about what's happening to him. So if he operates freely, in order to operate freely, he's got to have a scarcity of space cured, and he's got to have the scarcity of self cured. A person doesn't operate freely. Why doesn't a person operate freely? Why didn't he go out here and throw himself under the wheels of a truck? Why not? Well, there's only that much of him, you see. I mean, a fellow, by the way, just for amusement's sake, might stand on a curb and sort of throw himself under the trucks as they go by, just to scare the truck drivers or something. There is no reason why he shouldn't do it. Wouldn't hurt him any. But he's got to bring two items in proximity, he thinks, in order to get a sensation. When you bring them in too intimate a proximity and try to crowd him into the same space, it says right here in the rule book, messed universe. I think they're still running on issue one. It says right here that he can get in bad trouble. How can two particles come so close together as to create pain? Well, that's because there isn't enough space between them. Well, how can you keep more space from getting in between them? Well, if you're not careful, there won't be any space between them. And if you're not real careful, there won't be any particles there. So This is scarcity deluxe, you see. Scarcity of you-ness. You have to be very careful not to get stuck any place because you can't be elsewhere than where you are. Now we take step two, and that teaches a person to be here and to be there and to be someplace else. Now let's add another one in creative processing under step three. Let's take the step two mock-ups that create him here and there and so forth. And in terms of space, let's just create lots of him. As a Thetan. We'll create lots of them. All kinds of identities and so forth, all in present time. Then get linear distances and stretch them all up and down the line. And now instead of running a cycle of action, let's have a new Thetan be in each moment of the time track. Be a brand new beingness with the full knowingness of the past beingness, but a brand new beingness with great amplitude being in each new moment. Leave him stuck in every moment of the time track, in other words. He's trying not to be stuck. Let's fix him up with mock-ups so that he's stuck in every moment. All right, let's have him being beheaded. That's good. That's good. Now get the Thetan being crowded down and staying right there in that beheaded body, okay? You got that there? All right, now let's mock up a new body of yours. The fellow said, wait a minute, I didn't get out that last one. That's all right. Just be right there. Now mock up this new body of yours, be hanged. That's good. You got that body hanging there? All right, get yourself being stuck completely in that body. You got yourself stuck there? No possibility of you getting out? All right, that's fine. Now mock yourself up over here in 18th century clothes and so forth, being killed in the Crimean War. Now the fellow said, wait a minute. You say, wait a minute, that's what you're trying to do. You just wait in those two bodies all you please. Let's get mock-ups all over the place under step three, and let's cure this scarcity of you-ness. Let's just get lots of mock-ups and get him stuck in every mock-up till he all of a sudden gets the idea, which is the true idea, that he has unlimited amplitude, unlimited volume, unlimited beingness. And what do you think returns to him? Differentiation of the widest sort on facts. Well, he can get lots of distance. What else returns to him? Immunity from pain. There's so much space between particles that unless he wants to put them in proximity, they won't go into proximity. Pain is enforced proximity of particles. There is no scarcity of you. There is no reason why you can't be here fully knowingly and sitting home in your own living room at this moment fully knowingly listening to Radio 2. There's no reason why not. You think, well, I wouldn't have an identity if I did that. You know why you want an identity? I'll tell you why you've got to have an identity, so that others will be wrong. How could you possibly ever prove anybody wrong unless you had an identity? Why do you want to be famous? Well, it'll make them so wrong. Make who wrong? Them. Well, who's them? I don't know. Probably all degenerated into cells by this time, or they're in trouble so many other ways they don't need any further trouble about you making them wrong. You'll be surprised. The only reason a person wants an identity, or he has to have a face, is to prove them wrong. Now, you don't think that that's right, or that that connects. Well, just put it down in your notebook and run it on somebody and find out what happens. All right, let's prove them wrong now. Let's run a bracket on proving them wrong. Let's get people proving you wrong. This goes, by the way, right downhill. And having an identity is below having force. Here's the terrible trick. You feel like if you get enough of an identity and you get famous enough that you can't then be limited in what you do. And of course, that is exactly the way you get limited. Just try and get a little bit famous sometime and find out all of the shackles that go on. Do you look at some of these characters around? That was one of the first things that struck me down in Hollywood. I used to look at these stars. My God, they might as well have been anchored with elephant posts at the studio, and they might as well have been in cages and been wheeled from their homes down to the studio every day and wheeled back again. You talk about captive by fame. They were objects, and they were valuable. person says, no, someday I'm going to get famous and do anything I want to do. I'm going to be president of the United States. You know what the president of the United States runs into every time he turns around? Secret Service. I would hate to tell you some of his activities that have to be supervised by the Secret Service. Now, Harun al-Rashid had a cure for this. All Harun al-Rashid used to do was mock himself up as a beggar and go on out and talk with the common people. But I noticed he was always cracking out with, I am Harun al-Rashid. That was the only way he could solve anything. What a dope. The only way he could solve anything or award somebody for doing something was by suddenly disclosing the fact that he was the Sultan. Boy, was he low on the tone scale. There are so many things you can do besides disclosing an identity or calling upon a hoarded wealth. But of course you have to be a Scientologist to do that. You have to be a good one. And so we won't blame Harun al-Rashid. But the track leads you to believe that you should become an identity, that you should have a face, that people should know your name. Why? So you'll have rights. Why do you want rights? I'll tell you why you want rights. The reason you've got to have rights is because you're liable to be hurt if you don't have rights. So the need for identity and the need for rights is the effort to avoid pain. And so a person becomes an identity, becomes a solid object, as handled as a solid object, really, when he's got all the fame he can stand. And he has no rights anymore. He's got all the rights in the world, only he hasn't got any rights. And that is the very, very spooky trap that the mess universe has all pegged out. The more of an identity you become, the more of an object you become, or the safer you are, you think, uh-uh. Boy, you really have to be a tough guy to help anybody. I'm not kidding you. You have to be tough enough to knock somebody's block off before you can help them. You have to be real strong. Because the only way you can get famous is to help somebody or something. That's a lower level than being able to command people to do something. So what are we doing? You're falling down from postulate. Boy, would I like to be king, somebody says. Then I can do anything I want to do. Except wear the pants you want. Except eat the things you want to eat. Except be where you want to be. Did you ever see one of these fellows running around? They christen ships and so forth. I remember Edward, Prince of Wales, so forth. My father had something to do with it. Part of the tour that Edward was on. The poor kid had to change his clothes in the back of a Rolls Royce about four times a day to go to these new meetings and appointments and that sort of thing. It was wonderful. He was just a walking clothes horse. And was he handled? One day, the most horrible thing that happened over one day in one headquarters was the fact that he turned up missing. One time during the war, he was able to cut off or cross country and jump a fence and get away from the colonel and a couple of troops that were shepherding him. And he was taking a run one morning for breakfast, and he all of a sudden realized that these guys couldn't get over the fence on their horses. And so he just skidded through the barbed wire and took a run across a plowed field and went and found a tree and sat down someplace and relaxed. And he had practically half the Allied army on his ear. Everybody got worried because he wanted some freedom. And that's the way it goes. So how do you restore this? What's the cure for an identity? The cure for an identity is the possession of power. And what's above power? Space. You have to recover the ability to use power before you can get into space. And so we get a whole technique that has to do with that. I've written it down up here. Is unable to use force or display force. So we put that under the heading of demonstration of power, and we put that as the bridge to be crossed, one of the bridges to be crossed in three. And why is it sitting there in three? Well, it's sitting there in three because it's the bridge that goes from three up to two. Somewhere on these five steps, we got to rehabilitate power, so let's rehabilitate it in three. We disabuse the fellow completely from using force in step two and get him to use postulates All right, where's the bridge to that? Well, a bridge to that comes up from being an identity up through the ability to use power. And when he's able to use power, he doesn't give a damn what identity he is. Why does somebody want to be king? Because I could have all their heads chopped off. Why do you want their heads chopped off? Well, because they've done me in. Well, what have they done to you? Well, they did this and they did that. Well, now, they did all that. Well, why do you want to be king then? Maybe you couldn't get at them. Well, I could at least show them they were wrong. Why do you want to be this famous? Why do you want to be able to do all these things? Well, I'll show my teacher. She didn't think I was any good. Wonderful motivation, isn't it? But truth of the matter is, nobody gives you permission to go way up tone scale to 40. You don't have to ask permission from anybody to go in that direction. So beware of all routes where you have to ask for approbation and permission in order to be. And boy, you sure have to ask everybody's permission to get famous. If you go along and don't give a doggone what people think of you, and you just go on and you do your job, and you let them chatter and you let them yak, and you don't care about anything, boy, you'll really get in Dutch sooner or later. Of course, all things come to end if you can stand the gaff, if you don't wear out. But the only possible way that you can get any freedom is to stop asking everybody's permission to be. And beware if you start operating in your community and you're operating in an area, you get yourself way up tone scale and you're able to do some tricks. People start finding out what you can do about ills and that sort of thing. Beware, as you would of the plague, of a thirst for fame. I've had to do a very bad thing in Scientology and Dianetics. In order to secure the line of research, I've had to hang my name on it continually. You can ask anybody who was in the first foundation. One day I raged and stormed and beat the desk until I was fit to. I scared everybody. As a matter of fact, the whole board of trustees said, oh, why, Ron, I never knew anybody. They thought that just because, you see, I'd do something like Dianetics and Scientology, that automatically and immediately I would thereafter have to be completely controlled and be a perfect gentleman. That doesn't follow. It's non sequitur. I'm much more at home on a quarter deck. They were trying to tell me something or other, and I got mad about the thing because this was very early. They wanted me to put my name on some things, and I had it all beautifully rigged up into the most wonderful little swindle up to that time you ever heard of. And more people believe this swindle. They believe that Dianetics was the creation of a number of engineers, of which I wasn't even one. You can ask them the early foundation about this. And then what do you know? All these engineers that were named turned into prima donnas and started turning up and say what you should do is all go out to church. And some of the others said that what you should do would be to go over and change all of this and that. And they were going off in all different directions except the direction to make anybody well. They hadn't even bothered to learn this subject before they began to become authorities on it. And they became such horrible authorities that everything got mopped up. Well, somebody pointed this out to me, and I went into a storming rage on it. I said, you know what will happen from here on out? I said, my good name won't be worth 2 cents. If I want to go up to the Alaskan tundra and thumb my nose to all this, I'll have to stay here. No. They won. Not 5 months later, I was all over the pages of the Los Angeles newspapers with the darndest bunch of garbage you ever looked. A gal I wasn't even married to was suing me for divorce. Fame. All right, we got this name on it as a trademark. But at any day, you're liable to having a 10-year-old boy or something showing up here to draw any paycheck I might be drawing from this operation. Any day, and this body just beautifully buried with the nicest ceremony. Much as your life's worth. So that's a bad route. I'm using this as a horrible example. It probably doesn't come home because you don't know how horrible the example is. It's a roughie. For the last 2.5 years, this has been just pure, unadulterated hell on the subject of public repute. You know, I used to be able to go into New York City, and they knew me as an explorer and as a writer, and they used to run nice columns in the New York Times about me. Not now. No, I'm leader of a cult or something. Devil with that. Now, if there was to be a prevention of that, it would be through the field of force. When is a person unable to use force? is when he's got a public repute to protect. You can't use force. I haven't thrown a tantrum for years. Yet I well remember with what satisfying memory an ink bottle as I hit the desk, jumping off of it and landing in the lap of the person I was talking to upside down. Boy, that was the last satisfying view. Now, actually, you have to be anonymous to use force. If you used unlimited force, you'd better be sure anonymous, because these cops, they got vertilions and everything else. Well, you know, they can't list a thing yet. Why do you want to use force? Well, it's just to use force, that's to... Well, that's a good reason it must have. So many people want to use it. It's all backwards, by the way. It's unusable. You can do things by posture, but not by force. But in order to do things by posture, you've got to have complete control of force. Awfully interesting idea, but it happens to be true. So, demonstrate force. Now, what's the mock-up of this, not to get long-winded and windy about this sort of thing? What's the mock-up? Yeah, you're interested in me, my pal. You're interested in this mock-up. All right. This mock-up that we do to get this is to mock the individual up using unlimited quantities of force. Do mock-ups of using unlimited quantities of force. Now, remember we had in two, you had to cure a person of stage fright. All right. Now, that would be the last rungs of it. Let's cure a person in three of being wary of using force before witnesses. Mock-ups which give demonstrations of temper, unlimited quantities of force, destruction, and so forth before witnesses. And just a series of mock-ups which show him busting up everything and breaking everything through and everybody saying, and so on, and so on. And this is not the same as stage fright exactly, but it has some bearing on it. So you make him use force, and always before witnesses. Just using force, you see, won't pull him out of it. So the long form of Standard Operating Procedure 5 on Spaceation here then calls for mock-ups using force. We get him up to a point where he believes he could use any kind of force on anything. Good. The second he does that, he will be cured of something else. Thirst for identity, which lets him out of his body like that. Because about all his body is a very expensive, unusable method of having and carrying around an identification card. Actually, they have little cards, and we can issue cards here and code names and put your wavelength on file if you've got to be identified, but you won't want to be. All right. There, then, is that problem. Unlimited use of force. Now, why are you afraid of space? You're afraid of black space because unlimited force is liable to come out of black space. So you do a series of mock-ups under three of locating the most horrible things in black space, not seeing them, creating them in the black space. Just think of all the things you could create and then not bother to look at them. Just keep creating things in black space till a fellow is completely accustomed to finding anything in that blackness. He just gets the idea. More locks will come off, by the way. The thousands. Locating things in black space. Now, what do you know? White dazzling space is just as important to locate things in because it's an electronic area. What's smoking? Evidently, smoking is merely energy. And so we've got another one under Standard Operating Procedure 5 long form, and that is locating things in flaming energy. Get a big, great big ball of energy, and the fellow thinks that's all there is, we'll put a dragon in it. In other words, get them objects and energy flows, black and white, and get them around him and mock up things in that and not even see them, but just know they're there and get him up to a point where he could know anything is in the black space. And you'll get him over a lot of fear. Now, there's one in the next step, number four, which I'm not covering in the moment, but I'll just mention it offhand, is we will have energy. Gita, you mock up energy. A person getting energy and a person giving out energy is part of step four. So this is just above above that. It's a higher level. It's locating things in energy. Gita, we're just getting energy, getting the idea, taking energy in and putting it out. Well, let's get in three, locating things in. And the goal of three is, for heaven's sakes, let's absolutely get a person over two things in three. If we don't get him over anything else, of course, basically we're just getting him over any aberration in space. But let's get him over two things that are very specific. And one of those is being afraid of black or white space, that it might mask something.